Okay, good morning, everyone. So today's daf is sponsored by Nathan and Leah Berry in memory of Melissa Baum, Talia Bas Avram on her first yard site, and our Talmud Torah should be in Aliyah for her neshama and for her family in Nechama. Also sponsored in honor of the birthday and as a refuah shleima for Nachshon Meir Ben Tamima Chaya Sara Shlomit. Should be a refuah shleima. And our learning this month for the month of Iyar has been sponsored by Ayal and Sarah Steinberg in honor of the yahrzeit of Ayal's mother, Elia Daphna Bas Yosef. Okay, so we're picking up today. Today's daf is Daf Gimel in Maseches Zvachim, and we're going to pick up. We're going to pick up a little bit up from the bottom. So seven lines up from the bottom. So if you remember, what we were talking about is that Rava had a, we said that Rava had a series of questions that he asked, and we got into the first one, and that had to do with the fact of why by Karban is Stam, where if he does it without any designation, that's considered okay, and it doesn't spoil the fact that it has to be Lishma, whereas by Get, it very much has to be written specifically for the person. It can't be Stam. And Rava asked the question, he gave the answer, and now we've been doing the cleanup to understand how did he know these two things. So we discussed yesterday already how we knew that in the case of how we knew the halacha by a chatas, that if it's brought Stam, that it's okay. And now we're going to learn, the Gemara picks up, the Gabi Get, the Stam apostle minalan. In other words, Rava assumed as the premise of his question that in the case of Get, that if you write a Get Stam, meaning that it's not specific for any person, it's kind of like in case it happens to match the names in the place, that you could use it. So it wasn't written specifically for this couple. How do we know that that's puzzle? So the Gemara goes through a series of possibilities. So we say, Ile Mamei Hadisnan, if you're going to say that we learn it from this, that we learn in the Mishnah in Gittin, which is a continuation of the Mishnah we learned before. And he says as follows, Haya over Bashuk, he's passing through the marketplace, this guy, Vishama Sofrin Makrin, and he hears the Sofrin are basically training their student Sofrin, and they're saying, he's saying, write this word, that word, so he's basically saying out loud the Get, and the students are writing it. And so what do you hear the guy saying? The guy hears the teacher of the Sofrim saying, Ish ploni girish plonis mi makum ploni, that such and such man is divorcing such and such woman from such and such place. Va'amar, he's passing by, says, Zeshmi v'zeshem ishti. This is the name of his name, and that's his wife's name. So he says, you know what? While I'm passing by, let me take that get. And he says he'll use it to divorce his wife. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says puzzle a garish bowl, so that it's that is not a valid get. So what do you see? You see that it is insufficient that it's written with the proper names in place, but it has to be written for the purpose of this particular couple to have them divorce. So what do you see? You see a source, the idea that if a get is written stam, it's written not specifically for a given person, that's puzzle. So the Gemara says, well, that's no proof. Dilma k'dra papa. Maybe this is simply telling you the halacha like Rav Papa. The Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Hacha b'sofrim ho'asuyim le'islam edaskinah. So I kind of gave it away in the beginning by saying that what we're dealing with here is not a get that was written for, and this was simply a get that was written for the purposes of giving, general instruction about how to write a get. So the problem here is not, we don't even get to the question of whether it's lishma or not, whether it's written for this specific person. It wasn't even written for the purposes of being a get. This was simply written for the purposes of instructing them how to write a get. So in other words, if you understand that these are simply talmidim, there's a much bigger problem before you get to lishma, which is this a get to begin with? And if it was not designed to be a document that's used to sever a marriage, then for sure it doesn't work. So therefore, there's no proof that you need lishma. It's simply proving to you that when a get is written, it needs to be written with the intention to be a divorce document. That's what he says. But so from asking Islam asking, we're talking about someone who's teaching the students. Lo ichtov l'shem krisus klal. It's not even written for the purposes of being a severing document. So therefore, that's not a raya to lishma. So we say elamei ha. So rather, it comes from this continuation in the Mishnah. And we're at the top of Daf Gimel. Yasser al Kain. So basically, the structure of this Mishnah is it keeps telling you greater levels of chiddush, greater levels of novelty about why it doesn't work. So he says, I'll tell you one better than when we're talking about students who are learning and it's not written for krisis at all. But what's the case? Kas of the garishes ishto. The guy writes a get to divorce his wife. So you have Reuven is married to, you have Yaakov is married to Leah, and he says that he wants to, divorce his wife, the Nimloch, and he changes his mind. He does, Yaakov decides he's not gonna divorce, he's not going to divorce Leah. And what happens? Matzah ben Iro, a different guy in his city named Yaakov, who has a wife named Leah, and, he finds the get, Amar Lo, and he says to him, you wrote this get for your wife, then you change your mind. As it works out, Shmi Kishimcha, my name is like your name, Meshem Ishti Kishem Ishtecha, and my wife's name is like your wife's name. So let me use that get that you had written. So in this case, it's better than the case before. Why? Because this was actually written. What was the problem with the case before? We said it was not written for Krisus. In this case, it was written for Krisus. And yet you see that it's puzzle. So it must be that you, in fact, this proves that you need to have Lishma. It needs to be written for the specific woman, and that's why it doesn't work in this case, puzzle garish bo. So the Gemara says, no, that's no proof that a get has to be written Lishma for the specific woman, because Dilma Shani Hasam, maybe that case is different. The intek le l'shem gerishin dahahu. Because in that case, the get was written for one specific woman. Yaakov A, the first Yaakov who was married to Leah A, the get was written for purposes of Leah. It was written for a specific person. So therefore it takes it out of the category of working, because once it's written for one person, you can't use it for another person. But it doesn't prove what would happen if you had a get that was written literally for, with no one in mind. That's the case of Stam, maybe that would still work. So the Gemara says, Elameha, so I'll learn it from the next case in the Mishnah. Yes, okay, and the Mishnah says, I'll tell you one step up, even more, a greater chiddush. So what happens? Yeshol shtei nasim sheshmoiseyem shavos. So a guy, Yaakov has two wives named Leah. He has, you know, there's nothing against marrying, it can create confusion, but there's nothing against marrying two women with the same name. So he has two wives named Leah. So, Kasav Lagarish is a Gdola. So if he writes it for Leah A, and then he decides, you know what, I don't want to divorce Leah A, I'd rather divorce Leah B, he can't use it. Lo Yagarish Bo Sakatana, he can't use it for his other wife, even though they're the same name. So what do you see? You see that it needs to be written for a specific woman. So this should be the source that a get that's written that's not written for a specific person is no good. So Gemara says it doesn't prove the point, because Dilma Shani Hasam, maybe it's different in that case, and the reason it doesn't work is not because it was written stam, but rather the intik le l'shem gerishin dehahi, because it was written for purposes. In other words, once it was written for Leah A, it's pulled out of the category of stam, and this is no longer a case of stam. This is a case where it was written for Leah A. You can't use it for Leah B. But maybe if you wrote to get stam, and the guy just wrote Yaakov and Leah, because there's lots of Yaakovs and Leahs out there, and he figured this one will be for whoever it comes for. He wasn't written for any particular woman or man. So maybe that would be different. So the Gemara says, Elameha, so I'll try and learn from here. The Mishnah continues, yes, Sir Al-Kain, I'll tell you one up even more. Amar Lelavlar, he tells the sofer, Ksov, write to get. So we're still dealing with a case of Yaakov who has two wives named Leah. He has Leah A and Leah B. He says, Ksav, write the get that he, Yaakov, divorces Leah. Uleiza she'ertza egarish. And he says, whichever one, I'll decide tomorrow which one I want to divorce with it. I'm not in the mood of having two wives. And one, we'll end up, one of them will get divorced. So why is this better? This is better than the case before, because the case before we said was a problem, because since it was written for one specific woman, Leah A, you can't switch it to Leah B. But here it's truly stam, because he didn't make up his mind yet about which of his wives, Leah, he's going to divorce. So the Mishnah still says, Pasul Agarish Bo. So therefore you see that if it's not written Lishma for one particular woman, it's no good. So the Gemara says, Dilmoshani Hasam, still no proof about a stam get. Why? The Ain Brera. Because there's no Brera going on here. Now what is Brera? Brera is something we've encountered many times. So let's say, for example, you know, we had a Meseches Be'ah as a good example where a guy had birds and he, you know, something he wanted to shecht the next day. And in order for it not to be muktzah, you have to designate it the day before. So he says, I'm going to pick from among these. And he points to one particular pen, but he's not going to shecht all of them. Rather, what happens is, tomorrow, when he comes and picks it, so right now it becomes, the halacha applies that whichever one he's going to pick tomorrow, as of now, is considered designated. It's just that when you look at this pen today, no one knows which one has been designated because it's only going to be retroactively clarified tomorrow when he actually picks one. But when he picks one tomorrow, it's not being picked tomorrow, it's being picked today, and it just reveals to us which one was truly prepared today, right? So now, the way Rashi understands, and Breyer is a complicated sugya throughout Shas, but the way Rashi understands it is the way I just said it, the way he understands Breyer to work, is that there is a designation that's happening today. We just don't know which one is designated, right? That's how he understands Breira. So you would say as follows. If there's Breira, then this get should work. Why? Because tomorrow when he picks Leah A or Leah B, then it's clear that yesterday when he had the get written, it was written for whichever one he picks today. But if you hold there's no Breira, right? So then the way it works is that it is not retroactively clarified that this was for Leah A or Leah B, and it turns out that when he wrote the get, it was for one or the other. It was either for Leah A or Leah B, but we don't know which one. So if he uses it tomorrow to divorce Leah B, maybe it was written for Leah A, or vice versa. Because again, if you hold no Breira, then you can't say it's retroactively clarified, but yet the mechanics still works the same, that it's actually designated for some woman. So the Gemara is saying, that's no good because it was actually written for one of the Leahs. We just don't know which one, and we can't use the concept of Breira to say that it's clear that it was this one or the other one. So therefore, that is not a case of a get that's written stam, because it was written for either Leah A or Leah B. We just don't know which one. So we're still looking, we're still seeking the case that proves, and this is in fact, we're going to get to it now, that we've gone through a series of cases, we're going to get to it now, how do we know that a get that's written stam, meaning not for any particular woman or man, is still puzzle, it needs to be written with lishma for a particular couple. So Elamehal, we learn it out from here. Hakosev tofse gittin, someone who's writing tofsin of gittin. What is a tofes? We learned before that there's a tofes and a toref. These are the two parts of the get, one that is the general operative language of a get, and the other that's specific to the individuals who are being divorced. So it says when he's writing the tofes of a get, he needs to leave blank the name of the man and the name of the woman. Umakam ha'edim, he needs to leave blank the place where it says the edim, because you're going to have to write it when you know who the edim are. Umakam azman, and the date that has to be written on the get. V'am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, Aftzar she'yinich macham hareyat muteres l'chol adam. You even need to leave space for where he's going to write, behold, you are permitted to any man, because that is the primary, that's the central clause in the get, is basically saying you're released. So what do you see? You see from here that you need to specify, at the time you're writing the get for the individual, you can prepare most of it as boilerplate beforehand, but once you figure out which man and woman you're writing it for, you need to write it specifically for them. That's why it can't be written in advance. If a stam get would be sufficient, let the guy write Yaakov and Leah, and if he happens to get a Yaakov and Leah, he'll fill it in then. But the Mishnah is telling us, the Brisa is telling us that it's telling you that you need to leave that space blank. From the fact that you need to leave it blank shows you that in fact the get that's written stam, that's written without any particular couple in mind, is invalid. So we've now completed that. Sugya Rava had asked a question comparing carbon to say that carbon works if it's stam and get does not work if it's stam. Rava explained the distinction between the two yesterday, but now we've cleaned up to understand how he knew that that's how those work, that in one case it works, in the other case it doesn't. So we're at the two dots on Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, so if you remember, I think it was Ravina who had said, to Rav Papa, if I'm not mistaken, he said, yesterday you missed it. Rava asked lots of interesting contradictions and he answered them. So we addressed the first of them, and now we're going to get back to the series to say other things that Rava asked that on the surface seemed to be a stira, and how would he answer them? So the Gemara says, Su Rami Milsa Achriti, that Rava asked another case of a contradiction. Mi Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, did Rav Yehuda Amar Rav say as follows, or how did Rav Yehuda Amar Rav say as follows, that Chatas Sheshachata L'Shem Ola Psula. So we learned this yesterday, that if you have a carbon, and you and the Kohen offers it with intention that it should be for a different kind of carbon, that's a problem. So he's saying, yes, if you have a chatas, and you shechted it saying it was an ola, that makes it puzzle. That we learned yesterday. But here it says something interesting, shechata l'shem chulin, but if he shechted it not for a different carbon, but saying it's nothing to do with a carbon. He just shechted it like it was a regular animal. He didn't have in mind any carbon. It's kshera. He says, so in that case, it's kasher, which is kind of non-intuitive. You're saying if he had in mind the ola, which is at least some kind of carbon, that destroys the lishma aspect of the chatas, so you would think chulin for sure should destroy it. But we say, no, chulin does not get, if he has intention for chulin, it does not destroy it. And it only destroys it if you have intention for, if you had intention for a different carbon like a ola. So, Alma, what do you see? Dimina machriv ba, the lav mina lo machriv ba. So he says something that's similar can destroy or interrupt. The machriv is like a chorva, like a destruction, but it's saying something that is like, is similar to something else can interfere or can interrupt. But if something's totally different, then it doesn't even interfere or interrupt. And this is the concept that we're going to deal with for the rest of the daf today. This idea of which is in fact a principle that's going to hold true, the idea that if something is really dissimilar, then that's not even considered an interruption. So how does that apply here? The idea being that if it's a little bit similar, an ola is similar to a chata. So if you're going to mix those things up, it's going to ruin the lishma aspect. But if it's totally different, meaning you have a chatas and you're shechting in l'shem chulin, that's sufficiently different that it's not considered an interruption. Okay, so you see this concept that something that's significantly different is not an interruption. Raminu, I'll ask you, I'll compare that to another halacha we learned, and it seems to be a stira. What did we learn? We learned kol haget shenichtav shalo l'shem isha pasul. So he says if you have a get that's written not for a particular woman, that's puzzle. That's an invalid get. Va'afilu l'shem avadis kochavim nami puzzle. And even if it was written for a non-Jewish woman, then that's also puzzle. Right? So what's the problem with this? He's saying as follows, that it's one thing if you tell me that if the get was really written for Leah who's married to this Yaakov, and instead you use it for Leah who's married to a different Yaakov, that's a similar instance. So you could say, okay, fine, that messes up l'shma. But if he writes it for a non-Jewish woman is not in the category whatsoever of a get. There's no concept of marriage and divorce halachically by Goyim. So therefore you would say a non-Jewish woman is so far removed from this that it should not interrupt, but yet you see that it does. It messes up the Lishma designation. So on the one hand, when we learned the case of you shecht it not L'shem Ola, but rather L'shem Chul, and it's sufficiently distant that it doesn't interrupt, but yet in the case of a non-Jewish woman, even though it's very distant, she's not relevant at all to the halachas, to the laws of Gittin, but yet it does interrupt. So you see this, you see a stira contradiction. Vishani, and he answered it. He said, get dal ovedes kochavim minei havelei stama. So he says as follows, that get, forget the fact that we're dealing with an ovedes kochavim. There's a more basic problem, which is what? Let's say there was no non-Jewish woman listed here. So what would you have? You're left with a get that's written for, it's written Yaakov divorces Leah, but you don't have any particular Leah in mind. What is that? That sounds familiar. That's a get that's stam. And what did we just finish learning? A stama puzzle. And a stam get is puzzle. So it's not the idea that something distant, meaning a non-Jewish woman, is what interrupts. There's something more basic missing here, which is there's no woman listed. In other words, if you ignore the guy, the non-Jewish woman, there's no one listed. And we know that when you have a stama in the case of a get, it's puzzle, as we just learned before. But kadshim, but in the case of a chatas, that he does it, l'shem ola or l'shem chulin, we say dal chulin minayu. Let's say you remove chulin from it. Let's say you ignore something that's sufficiently distant, that's sufficiently dissimilar. Havele stama. So that would be a stama. Ustama ksherim. And yet we learned yesterday that when you have a chatas that is done stam, that you have intention for no particular carbon, you just shecht it, that carries over as a valid case. So he's saying the distinction between these brises is not, it's not really a case of dissimilar. He's saying there's a, in the case of a non-Jewish woman, it's not that she's dissimilar and still it's a problem, because normally dissimilar would not be a problem. The problem is that there's no particular woman you have in mind, and therefore it fails the Lishma test. Okay, so that was the second stira. Barama Milsi Achriti, and he asked two other brises that seem on their face to contradict each other. Mi Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Did Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, how did he say as follows? Chata sheshachta l'shem ola, psula, shachta l'shem chulin ksheira. So this is the same brisa we just learned before, that if someone shechted a chatas for shem ola, which is somewhat similar to it, then that destroys the lishma aspect. It's possible, because he was supposed to shecht it as a chatas, and he shecht it as an ola. But shachta l'shem chulin, if he did it for chulin, that's sufficiently distant and removed that we're going to say it's still kasher. Alma, what do we see? That something similar can destroy it. So if he does it for an ola when it's supposed to be a chatas, that destroys it. But if it's totally dissimilar, like chulin, lo machreba, it doesn't destroy it. So that was the same brisa we learned before. But I'll ask you that this seems to contradict another brisa, because we say as follows, tocho velo toch tocho. So the halacha, let's just take a moment to review the halachas of kli cheres. So we know that a kli cheres, if you have an earthenware keli, works differently than other kalim. And how so? Because normally a keli becomes tameh by being touched by something that's tameh. A kli cheres is interesting in the fact that, A, it does not need to be touched in order for it to become tameh, and it's different than other things. If you take a sheretz and you touch the outside of a kli cheres, normally that would be enough to make a keli tameh. But if it's a kli cheres, if it's earthenware, and you touch the sheretz against the outside of the keli, it does not become tameh. What is the way in which a kli cheres becomes tameh? Only by something, by the tumah being within the airspace of the keli. So if you put the sheretz inside, then the keli becomes tameh. If you touch it to the outside, it does not become tameh. So two chidushim there. One is that a kli cheres only becomes tameh from the inside, and B, it does not require actual contact with the inside, as long as the tame thing goes into the airspace of the klicheres, that is considered something that makes it tame. So now, the Bryce is bringing us the following case. Let's say that someone had a klicheres that was tame, let's say it had a sheretz inside, and you lowered into this another kli cheres, right? And in that kli cheres was food. So if food was in the primary kli cheres, the same one that had the sheretz, even though they don't touch each other. So you have some food on the bottom of the kli cheres, you suspend into it a sheretz, the sheretz never touched the food, but yet, because the sheretz being suspended in there makes the keli tamei, so then the food is also tamei. But here what you have is that the sheretz is in one of the kalim. In other words, there's one within another. The sheretz is in one, and the food is in a different one, right? So we're saying that in that case, the Bryce is learning tocho below toch tocho. So the pasuk says as follows: it says v'kol kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho. He says any earthenware keli, the pasuk says, that falls into it, into its inside, meaning into its airspace. Kol asher besocho yitmo. Anything that's in it, meaning in that keli, becomes tummy. For example, the food we described before. So the Gemara says, something that's in it, something that's in the keli, meaning if you had the food at the bottom and you had the sheretz suspended, they're both in the same keli, so it becomes tummy. But if you're dealing with a case where you had a keli within a keli, so then the pasuk is excluding that and saying that in that case, it is a case of toch tocho. You have something that's in a keli, meaning if the food is in a keli that's in the keli that has the sheretz, that is not considered tamei. Vafilu klishetaf matzil. And the Tana continues and says, this is true even if you're dealing with a klishetaf. Klishetaf means a keli that's capable of being washed or cleaned, but what it means? It means a keli that can be put in a mikvah to be made tahar. So we know that a kli cheres, an earthenware keli, cannot be made tar. That's in fact why the pasuk says v'oso sishbaru, that you should actually break it, because once it becomes tame, it can't be made tar. So the chiddush is as follows: that it's a much bigger chiddush to say that a kli shetef, that let's say you put in a metal keli, it works. Why? Because when you put in an earthenware keli, if you think about it, you're inserting the earthenware keli into the other earthenware keli. So if you're thinking that the tumah is going to transfer to what's inside, remember, where is the tumah reaching on the second keli that's put in? It's reaching the outside, right? And the outside of kli cheres is not, it doesn't become tummy from the outside. So you might say kli cheres is only that way. The Tana is telling you, no, not just the kli cheres. Even if you had a kli cheres, an earthenware keli, it had a sheretz in it, and you suspended into it another keli that's metal. So you might say, let the sheretz that's in the kli cheres be metame what's in it, which includes the metal keli. Once the metal keli becomes tame, so then it's touching the food that's in the metal keli, and that too should become tame. So the Tana is telling you, no, even that is considered toch tocho, and therefore it does not transfer the tumah. So what are we left with here? We're left with this theory as follows, because we had the first brisa which talks about where you shech something l'shem ola, so it's similar, that interferes, but something that's totally dissimilar does not interfere, right? Versus this brisa, which is telling you that even when you have a keli, let's say a metal keli, which is totally different than the keli than the kli cheres, the earthenware keli. So you might say metal should not be considered an interruption, and therefore the food in it should become tame, because we ignore something that's dissimilar, and metal is very dissimilar from kli cheres. So you might think that something very dissimilar is disregarded, but yet we see that it is sufficient to protect the food in it from becoming tame. So you see that something dissimilar is not considered disregarded. So in one case, we're saying, in the case of chulin versus ola, we say dissimilar is disregarded. And in this case, we're saying dissimilar metal, which is dissimilar from cheres, is not disregarded. Vashani, and he answered the stira as follows. He says, asu chulin etzel kachim, k'mechitza etzel tanor. So he's saying, you were operating under an assumption that metal is totally different than cheres, right? Than earthenware. So therefore, you said the metal should be disregarded, and what's in it should become tamei. But the Gemara says you were being too narrow when you were considering what's similar and what's different. So the fact is, a kli cheres and a kli mateches, a earthenware keli and a metal keli, they're both kalim, they're both utensils, and therefore we consider them as something that's similar to one another. When something is similar to one another, it's enough to interrupt. So that's why the metal keli interrupts the tumah from coming into it, because it is actually something similar to the kli mateches, to the metal keli. They're both kalim. Versus chulin versus ola, those are totally separate. So if you have in mind ola, which is similar to chatas, that interrupts. But if you had in mind chulin, which is totally dissimilar, then that does not interrupt. So we still hold our concept that dissimilar does not interrupt and similar does interrupt. So we're going to say as follows, that asu chulin etzel kachim k'mechitza etzel tanor. He says, no, let's talk about when you have chulin by kachim, we're going to consider that as a mechitza in a case of a tanor, and I'll explain what this means in a moment. Ma mechitza etzel tanor lo mahani le klal. Just like a mechitza in an oven doesn't help at all, afchulin etzel kachim lo mahani le klal. So too in chulin, it doesn't help. So he's saying as follows. We're going to see in a Mishnah in a moment that if you were to have an oven, which is an earthenware oven, and you would build a mechitza, you put in some bricks or something in the middle, and you create a dividing wall between the two, right? So he says that would be something that is considered entirely dissimilar. And so therefore, if something's dissimilar, what happens? It gets disregarded. He says, if you're trying to find a case of a kli cheres where you're putting in something dissimilar, the case would be where you put in a mechitza, you put in bricks that make it into two compartments, not where you stick in kli mateches. So that's what really saying what I was saying before, which is metal and earthenware are still in the category of kalim. You were trying to say that metal is different from kali. We're saying, no, metal's not different from kali, because they're both kalim. What would be different from an earthenware keli is if you put a mechitza down the middle. And because if you put a mechitza down the middle, you see it's disregarded because it's sufficiently dissimilar. So we're still maintaining our concept that dissimilar things are disregarded. How do we see that a wall does this? This non, because we learned in a Mishnah. Tanar shechatzitzu v'nesarim obiarios. So if you had a earthenware oven that was divided with boards or with a curtain, v'nimsa sheretz v'makam echad, and on one side of this wall you have a sheretz, so hakol tameh, everything is tameh, even though on one side of the wall you have food and on the other side of the wall you have a sheretz, we say everything is tameh. Why doesn't the wall separate? Because the wall doesn't belong in an oven, right? So therefore it's something that's dissimilar from the earthenware walls of the oven, and something that's dissimilar is disregarded. If you're disregarding the wall, then you have the sheretz and the food in the same oven. So therefore, it maintains the status of our rule that something dissimilar is disregarded. Now, kaveres shehi pechusa. So what happens if you stick in, the Mishnah continues, if you stick in a basket, and this basket is pechusa, it is spoiled a little bit, meaning there are holes in it, it is not a good keli. Upakuka bakash, and what do? You take straw and you try and fill in the holes of this basket to make it a keli. At the end of the day, that is not a valid keli, right? So what's going to be the question? The question is going to be, it is definitely not a keli besoch keli. It's not a kli and a kli, which we know protects the food in it. The question is, do we see it as a mechitza that blocks the tumor or not? So we say, umushulsheles la'avir ha'tanor, and you lower this into the airspace of the tanor, which is a kli cheres, which would be metameh. So we say, sheretz besocha hatanor tameh. If there's a sheretz in this basket, the entire oven becomes tameh. So what do you see? You see that the kaveres, the basket, is disregarded, right? And therefore, everything becomes tameh. Sheretz betanor. Now, or conversely, if the sheretz was in the tanor, and ochlin shebesocha, and there was food in this basket that you lowered, is tamehin. So what do you see? You see the idea that something that is different, that is entirely dissimilar, is disregarded. And that's why, even if you put up a wall in the middle of this oven, or you drop down this basket that is kind of a mechitza, you might think that it should protect the food from becoming tummy. The answer is it doesn't, because it's dissimilar. Rabbi Eliezer metahir. And Rabbi Eliezer says no. That he would argue in both cases. He would say a wall would separate, and he would also say that a basket, a ruined basket, even though it's not a valid keli anymore, would separate because it's a divider. Okay, so now just to keep track of where we are at the moment, we were trying to figure out why is it that on the one hand, when we learned chatas, and you had in mind chulin, it's dissimilar and disregarded, but ola is not, and then we had the case of where you put in a metal keli, which you would think is dissimilar, should be disregarded, and yet it said that it's not disregarded and it protects the food that's inside it. So the Gemara answered and said, no, when you're considering metal and earthenware to be separate, you're being too small-minded. Those are all in the category of keli, and therefore they're similar, and they're not going to be disregarded, and that's why it could protect it. How do I know this? Instead of saying that kli mateches, that metal is different than earthenware, say that those are the same. What would be a case of different? Would be a case where you have a wall, you have a mechitza in the middle of the oven. That would be different. And in fact, it's disregarded, as you see from this Mishnah that we just brought. But in the Mishnah we brought, there's this machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer, that the Tanakhama says it's different, this mechitza is different, it's disregarded. And Rabbi Eliezer says that it's not disregarded. And in fact, it protects the food from the sheretz on the other side, let's say where you put a wall. So I'm Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer explains his opinion. He says, Kavachomer. He says, I'll make you a Kavachomer. In Hitzel b'meis hachomer, l'tatzel b'kli cheres hakal. So he says as follows. He says, Rabbi Eliezer says, why do I consider this wall in the middle of the oven to be a valid separation for purposes of tumantari? He says, because we know what's the most chomer kind of tumah there is a dead body, right? And we also know that a dead body transmits tumah via ohel, if it's underneath the same roof. And yet we know the halacha is, let's say you have a house, and there's two sides of the house, and you put up a brick wall in the middle up to the ceiling. What's going to happen? Something on this side is tahar, even if there's something tameh on the other side. So you see that a wall is sufficient to separate tumah. So if we're saying, Rabbi Eliezer says, if I see that a wall is sufficient to separate tumah by tumah's mace, which is the most which is the most strict kind of tumah, then for certain, in a case of where we're dealing with this earthenware oven, that and we're only dealing with tumah sheretz, which is much less serious than mace, that it's going to be that it is going to protect just like it protects by mace. So Amr Lo, the Chachamim said back to Rabbi Eliezer, Lo im hitzu b'meis chamer shekein chaluka ba'olin tatzu b'klicheres hakal shein chalukim ba'olin. So the Rabbanan said back to Rabbi Eliezer, we don't like your kavah chomer. We're on Amr Beis. He says why? Because he says a house, people divide houses all the time. In other words, you want two rooms, so you put up a wall, right? So it's normal to divide a house into two parts. And then that's considered a valid mechitza for purposes of tumah. It's not normal to put a brick wall down the middle of an oven. And therefore, we're going to disregard it. So they don't like the comparison to a mace. They say from a mace, you're picking from a scenario that's normal to have a wall to a scenario that's not normal to have a wall. And if it's not normal to have a wall, it's considered something dissimilar. If it's considered dissimilar, it's disregarded. If it's disregarded, the tumah transfers. Okay, so that was the machlokas, between them. So the Gemara says, okay, so remember, we were trying to understand why is the case where you put a metal keli into an earthenware keli, it protects from tumah transferring. We said because it's actually similar, it's not dissimilar, right? But we see that works according to the Rabbanon, the ones who said because we said what should you compare it to instead? You should compare it to a case of a wall which is dissimilar, which is disregarded. So the Gemara is asking now as follows. That works well according to the Rabbanan who say you should disregard the wall. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says you don't disregard the wall, and the wall is a valid separation, right? So therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav said his halacha, I'm sorry, when we said, when he said it, this halacha, that something dissimilar is disregarded and something similar is an interruption in the case of Ola and Chatos, he's saying that really should be a machlokas tanayim, because evidently Rabbi Eliezer holds that something, even when it's dissimilar, it's not disregarded, right? So therefore, you've answered according to Rabbanan, but not according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer mayak lememar. So we say Rabbi Eliezer kavachomer kamar. So in other words, Rabbi Eliezer is saying the kavachomer. So what we're saying is as follows: the Gemara is saying we thought that Rabbi Eliezer was just supporting his view when he said the kavachomer, but actually you have to understand it differently. Really, Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the concept of Yehuda Amar Rav that something dissimilar is disregarded. He agrees with that concept, and therefore that's how you would explain the case of Chatas and Ola. Ola is similar, and therefore it interrupts, but a chulin is dissimilar, it doesn't interrupt. And why did Rabbi Eliezer say that in the case of a mechitza in the oven, that it does protect and it's not disregarded even though it's dissimilar? Is because he had the kavachomer. And the kavachomer taught him, but it's basically teaching you an exception. And everyone agrees with Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav's concept that something dissimilar would be disregarded if not for the fact that there's a kavachomer. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if so, hasam nami lema kavachomer. So he says, so what's the structure of what we said? We said that both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim agree that something dissimilar is disregarded and something similar is an interruption. We said, why did Rabbi Eliezer say that something dissimilar, a wall down the middle of an oven, is sufficient? Is because he says that specifically because there was a kavachomer. But by chulin and ola, I would say those are dissimilar and it is disregarded. He says, but let me tell you a kavachomer there too. He says, say as follows, kachim, mechalin, chulin lo kol shekein. He says as follows, that if kachim are, meaning if ola is enough to disqualify a chatas, which is a karbon, then chulin, which is totally different, should surely be enough to disqualify. Now, obviously, this is a different logic than we used before, but in other words, you can make that kavachomer. Say, if kachim can mess up kachim, for sure chulin should be able to mess up kachim. So therefore, the chachamim should agree that even though dissimilar is normally disregarded, in this case, there should be a kavachomer that trumps, and the kavachomer should say that it's not disregarded, and therefore we should say that whether he shechs it l'shem ola or he shechs it l'shem chulin, it should interfere because of the kavachomer. So we say, elatayim of the Rav, k'Rabbi Eliezer. Rav holds like Rabbi Eliezer, not Rabbi Eliezer. Not Rabbi Eliezer of the Mishnah. This is Rabbi Eliezer ben Pedas, the Amora. He says, "The Amr Rabbi Eliezer, my time at the Rav. What's the reason of Rav that he says that a chulin does not interrupt, but Ola does?" He says, "V'lo yichalalu es kodshei b'nei Yisrael es asher yarimu l'Hashem." He says, you shouldn't be mechalal the kodshei b'nei Yisrael, you shouldn't be mechalal kodshim with that which you give to Hashem. So it teaches you, and again, exactly how this is learned, we could see on Daf Memvav, but the basic idea is that you learn from the pasuk that only things that are kodshim can destroy things that are kodshim, i.e., if you have in mind ola when it's a chatas, then that destroys, but if you have in mind chulin, then it doesn't destroy. Okay? So therefore, so we learn kachim mechalin kachim and chulin mechalin kachim. That kachim, ola interrupts the chatas, but chulin would not interrupt the chatas. So what do we have? So we have the following structure. We're saying everyone agrees, we're coming back to this question of, when you have, why is it that when you have in mind an ola, it interferes, but when you have in mind chulin, it does not interfere. So we say, initially the answer is, because it's dissimilar, and something that's dissimilar is disregarded. Everyone agrees with that in what we're saying so far, right? So you have something dissimilar, disregarded. So chulin is dissimilar, you ignore it, and it does not interfere with the carbon. But ola would interfere. The Gemara then says, according to the Chachamim, but I have a problem because I have a Kavachomer that tells me that if kachim interferes, then for sure chulin, which is even more different, should interfere. So I might think that therefore, even when he shechts l'shem chulin, it should mess up his designation. Comes the Rabbanan and say, no, there I have a pasuk that overrides the Kavachomer. So you have a basic principle, dissimilar is disregarded. You have a Kavachomer that might make you think otherwise. And then you have a pasuk that essentially restores the rule and overrules the Kavachomer. And so you're left with the idea that chulin does not interfere. So what do you see? Alma asikra afke mi Kavachomer. Hachinami lesi toho lafke mi Kavachomer. So the Gemara asks as follows. So he says, we just set up the structure. And understanding the case of Chatas and Ola, we set up a structure of basic principle, dissimilar, disregarded. Kavachomer trumps, you might think, but then Pasuk knocks out the Kavachomer, right? So he says, so why not say the same thing? In other words, if that logic works, so you should say as follows, the basic rule, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is that, according to everyone, but we're saying even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that if you have something that is dissimilar, it's disregarded, right? And then we said, but the problem is that there's a Kavachomer. The Kavachomer was that if it works by a mace, if the walls are divided by a mace, it should be a divider, even by an oven. So it's a Kavachomer that Rabbi Eliezer was saying a special halacha. Now let me ask you a question. The Gemara is going to ask as follows. Once I know that mechitza separates in an oven, in a klicheres, so then I would for sure know that toho, that if you stick a keli in, it's going to separate. Why? Because a keli in a keli is surely a better interruption than a mechitza. Because a mechitza is just toch. It's just toch. It's not toch toho. It's not something that's inside something, whereas a keli inside has an airspace of its own, right? So therefore, we're going to say that if a mechitza separates, then surely a toho should separate. So the Gemara's problem is as follows, that you have the basic principle, and you have a kavachomer, but then you have a pasuk that comes to tell you toho. Why do I need the pasuk of toho? I would know it from the kavachomer. From the fact that I need the pasuk of toho to prove it to me, tells you that from the fact that I need a pasuk of toch toho, it must mean that the kavachomer is wrong. So we're asking as follows, that back to the case of mechitza and toch toho, I should tell you that toch toho we would know from the kavachomer, we would know that halacha from the kavachomer, and we don't need the pasuk of toch toho. And the fact that we need the pasuk of toch toho should destroy the kavachomer and go back to saying that a mechitza does not work. So the Gemara says, "Hachanami leisa tocho lafke mikavachomer." So we say the Gemara says, "No, according to Rabbi Eliezer." And I'm sorry, this is I know a little bit complicated. We're going through quick, but such it is. Okay, hi tocho mivoy leila ochlin shegivlam betit vechnisan laavir atanor. He says no. He says you're right. In theory, toch tocho, if it was really coming to teach me the halacha that something in the middle interferes when it has its own airspace, I would know that from the kavachomer, but toch toho is not coming to tell me the halacha of toch toho. Toch toho is actually coming to tell me a different halacha, which is coming to tell me it's just agav, it's just tangentially teaching me that a keli within a keli is tahar. Normally, I would just know that from the fact that a mechitza works by kavachomer. But why did tocho, why did we need the pasuk of tocho? It was coming to tell us a case where he took food, he covered it entirely in clay, and then he stuck it into a tanner. I might have thought, I might have thought that when I cover something fully in clay, so then if I touch a sheretz to it, it does not become tamei, so there, because it's protected by clay. So therefore also, I might think that if you stick this clay-covered food into a kli cheretz, it should not be matamei. Kamash malon. So therefore, the pasuk of toch tocho comes to tell you that toch tocho is okay. But if you stick in food that's covered with clay, so there's no internal recess, so it's not a toch tocho, so in that case, it does not work, and in fact, it does not protect it, and it would be tamei. So what you have is as follows. We were saying as follows. You have the basic rule. You had a kavachomer. Now we said from the kavachomer, you should know toch tocho. So what do I need the pasuk of toch tocho? Must show that the kavachomer is wrong. So the Gemara is saying, no, toch tocho was really coming to tell you this specific case of where you coated it in clay, and you did not need toch tocho to tell you that if you suspended one keli in another, it would work, because that I know from the kavachomer itself. And the Gemara says, v'rabbanan, what would the rabbanan say back? They say, hanach lo tzrichi kra. That's just a basic case of a tanor, that you stick in something earthenware, if you stick in something tameh into an earthenware keli, that it is, if you stick something into an earthenware keli, that it becomes tameh. The fact that you coated it in clay doesn't make a difference, because clay is something dissimilar, it's a covering, and therefore it's going to be disregarded. So, again, I apologize, it's complicated and we do it quick, but let's just review where we got to here. Is the idea that for purposes of Ola and Chatas, we're saying the rule is Ola Chatas versus Chulin. That Ola interferes because it's similar to Chatas, but Chulin would not interfere because it's dissimilar. You have a Kavachomer that tells you that if Kachim interferes, surely Chulin should interfere, so that should tell me that even Chulin is a problem. The Gemara answers that there's a pasuk of that tells you that kachim is mechalo kachim and chulin is not mechalo kachim. So that's the case in chulin and chatos. Now, in the case of mechitza, what we're saying is as follows: really everyone agrees that something dissimilar should be disregarded, and therefore a mechitza should theoretically be disregarded. And Rabbi Elazar comes to say to that, that no, there's a kavachomer that overrides the dissimilar business, and therefore it would in fact be a valid mechitza according to Rabbi Elazar, right? To which the Chachamim say, well, no, because toch tocho is a pasuk that trumps the kavachomer, and Rabbi Elazar would say, no, toch tocho does not trump the kavachomer, because toch tocho is needed for an entirely different halacha, and therefore you're left with the kavachomer according to Rabbi Eliezer, therefore that's why the wall in between or the kaveres would be a valid interruption. The chachamim say no, toch tocho is coming to tell you toch tocho, you don't need it for that case of where you coated in clay, and if it's coming to tell you toch tocho, it shows you that the kavachomer is wrong. And if the kavachomer is wrong, then mechitza is no good, and therefore the tumah would transfer according to the rabbanan, but not according to Rabbi Eliezer. I apologize, but we're out of time, so I will try to record the last half.